Welcome, or hopefully welcome back. Yep. My name is Curtis Saun. I'm here with my good friend Chris Oakman, and we're again going to talk about OneDrive for Business. This is the second module of our two-part series. Module one was mainly about end-user features of, yep. of OneDrive for Business and what you can do with it. You know, getting your stuff anywhere you want, making sure you can sync it, making sure your stuff's always available. Well, module two is more about from the IT pro side and administering it. And we're going to talk first about sharing, right?
It's a great... We got a little bit of cleanup on some sharing features, sure. and then diving into the administration.
And we'll see a lot of neat stuff you can do with OneDrive for Business that you can't do with other solutions.
Right.
All right, so we've got... All right, let's kick this off. This is module two. And all right, what we're talking about today, first we're going to talk about sharing internally, right? And so we will see how much of an advantage it is to share content with others rather than, say, emailing. It's a lot easier to collaborate when you have, you're collaborating on a single document, not multiple copies of a similar document. So we'll talk about sharing content and sharing internally and also externally and what that involves. And then we're going to talk about some administration topics. Yep. With that, I'm going to hand it right over to Chris to kick us off.
Sounds good. So let's talk about sharing.
Sweet.
Sharing internally from OneDrive for Business, what can be shared? Folders and documents are private by default. So when you share, you decide the rights. Okay. You share from within the browser or within Office 2013 applications, Office Pro Plus, Office 2013. And you can use a share button that's given right to you within the browser and from the app within Office 2013. So we'll show you those. When you share, a document must be saved to OneDrive for Business first. So let's say you've opened Word, you created a great document. That document's got to be saved to OneDrive for Business first before it can be shared.
So you can't share something that sits on your local computer. Then
correct.
People can't get to it.
Right. So it's got to be saved up to OneDrive for Business first. All the same options from the browser. So invite people to look at your document. You have the invite feature, get a sharing link, those kind of things. So you have all the same features from the browser as you do from within the document itself.
So it's neat because sharing is what distinguishes OneDrive for Business as not just a place to replace your home drives.
Right.
Because now the end user, the person whose OneDrive site it is, they can control who can see what, right? So it's another example of the responsible empowerment that we're trying to push to or evangelize with our customers so that end users and people have more control and more responsibility to say, well, I want Chris to have access to
right.
it, and I want him to be able to edit or not. Yep. And so we're making sure that the user can manage those decisions.
Great, exactly. All right, so let's jump right into a demo because that's what we love to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. We got a lot of demos.
We have a lot of demos today, so let's jump right into one. So this is going to be sharing internally from OneDrive for Business. So here's my OneDrive for Business location. Using my files, my folders, and I want to share this with this document right here. A couple different ways I can do it. I can check the box here and hit the share button. Okay, and that's usually the easiest. I want to share this, so we're going to go ahead and click on that. And I get the share of the document, the name of the document. Right now, it tells me that, it's only shared with myself. I have not shared this with anyone externally at all yet. It's only shared with me. So I want to invite some people. And let's see if Katie Jordan is available.
I'm logging on as Katie right now.
And I have some options. So if this document that I'm working on, I want Katie to be able to edit it, or if I just want her to be able to view it, she can't edit it, she can't do anything. She would have to download a local copy of that document in order to do anything with it. So it's view only. I just want her to view, or if I want her to be able to edit it, maybe we want to be able to edit it simultaneously. Okay. Maybe I want to send Katie a personal message. Hey, this is the doc. Well, I can't type. that I was talking about, make your changes. All right? So, and I want to make sure that Katie is authenticated with our tenant in order to access that document. I don't want her to be able to access this from a kiosk machine or something like that. I want to make sure that she's signed in. And then I have some other options. I can send or not send an email invitation. So we're going to go ahead and keep that and send it. Now, this is the basic sharing. I can also just get a link and to the document and send that link if I've already shared this document. And then I can see who I've shared it with. At the top, it already says that I've only shared with myself so far. Right. So I'm going to go ahead and hit share.
And I'm logged in as Katie, so pretty soon I will get a sharing notification, an email, that says, hey, something has been shared.
Yep.
And if you can switch over to my screen, I've gotten that email, and believe it or not, it's an email from Curtis, because Chris is logged on as Curtis. But here's an example of what the sharing notification looks like, which is just an email that's to Katie, me, from Curtis, him, that says whatever message he provided.
Yeah.
And that's actually SharePoint, which is performing that email notification.
So it's kind of like sending that document as an attachment, but I really didn't send the document. The document is never going to leave where it's currently at in my OneDrive for Business folder, which means that any changes that Katie makes are going to be applied to that document. Any changes that I make are going to be applied to that document. We don't have multiple documents going back and forth through email. So
I'm in this document right now. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go to edit in Word Online. And once you open up a document, we'll show what the advantage is. Super important. Are you sure? This looks not so important.
All right.
So I'm editing basically. And now we can see there's more than one person in this document. So I'm going to go up into the upper right. You can see I'm logged on as Katie.
Yep.
And it says Curtis is also editing the same document. So now we're both in the same document. And that's what collaboration is all about, is making sure that we can edit the same thing and we can see what's going on. So we're still on my document, and now I can see on my screen, I can see the other edits going on. And this is true collaboration.
Yep.
So in real time, I'm seeing the edits that Chris, in this case logged on as Curtis, is making to this document. So it's kind of neat.
Yep. Oh, it's great.
I'm just going to close my browser window. Don't have to save anything because it's stored in OneDrive for Business using the Office Online apps. It just saves automatically.
Right. And now if I go in and look at that document on my screen, you'll see that if I click on the ellipses here, I can see that who this document is shared with. All right, I can see it's been shared with Katie, and it was last changed by Katie as well. So I have change management capabilities of this document, and I can see who it's shared with. If you get a whole long list of people here, it'll say multiple people. You can drill down the list.
I like how it's shared with lots of people.
It's shared with lots of people.
Very important.
Yep.
But you can then drill down and figure out who lots of people means.
Right. Right. So what if I want to share a whole folder? So maybe I want to share this whole NDA folder. So I can do that as well. I get the same kind of thing. And then anything in that folder is available for Katie or whoever I want to send this to look at that folder. So any document and everything below, there's something to keep to remember is that if I share a whole folder, everything in that folder and any other folders that are in there will all be shared.
Right. Okay?
So it's kind of, it's inherits permissions. If it's been shared, everything in there is shared. So the nice thing about OneDrive for Business is I can share that individual document no matter how deep in a folder I am. So I can always share that individual document with somebody.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Why don't you open up that in, let's say, the Word client and share it with someone else. We'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, so sure, absolutely. So let's go ahead and open this up. And I want to edit this document in Word. Okay, so I have the same information. And I want to share.
Just That's very interesting.
Yep.
Demos.
Yeah, great. All right. So I have the share. Now I can invite people. I can get that link. So that link I was talking about, anyone with a link can view this client, or anyone with this with an edit link can edit this document.
And what I like is it also shows that even in Word.
Yeah, it's already shared with.
Who can edit it and who's been shared with and what their level of editing rights are.
Right. So if I want to invite somebody else, let's see.
S-U-Z. Oh, yeah, my former girlfriend, Susie Fakeman.
Yep. Susie.
At, what is it, sawn.org.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Susie F.
At. Oh, Susie. No, it's just Susie. That's right. Yeah, S-U-Z-Y. At
S-A-W-I-N.org.
Yep, and you can provide edit or...
I have the same edit and view. Yep. All right, so require the user to sign in. And we sent that share link. So now it's saved with Curtis, Katie, and Susie Fakeman.
And this is another advantage to OneDrive for Business is the integration with other Office components.
Because
right now, within Word 2013, Chris just shared something, which is great. But actually, and so Susie, right? Susie fake name, will get a notification. That actually got sent by SharePoint Online. So although Word has the hooks into OneDrive for Business, OneDrive for Business is really the one that's sending those email notifications.
Right. Great. Okay. So let's go back to our PowerPoint. And what's next? So let's talk about external users.
Oh, okay? Yes.
Yep. So an external user is someone outside of your organization. They may need access to files and folders located within SharePoint or OneDrive for Business, are not licensed users of Office 365, and are not employees, contractors, or on-site agents. So these are people that have not explicitly been given a Office 365 login to your tenant.
So they could be vendors you work with.
Vendors.
Customers you work with.
Yep.
Other third parties. Just people that you interact with, not in your company.
Right. Exactly. So what can external users do? They can use Office Online for viewing and edit documents. They can perform tasks on a site consistent with the permissions level that they are assigned. They cannot create sites, edit their profile, access a search center, or have their own OneDrive for Business library.
Yeah, it's extending like the collaboration function of OneDrive for Business without giving them all the rights that they would normally have if they were a licensed user to create things in SharePoint.
Great.
So just being able to extend your content with others is great.
So external sharing by default is turned on for the entire SharePoint environment, okay? So
that's important.
That is important to remember. By default, it is turned on for everybody, okay? Best practice is to turn off globally and then only enable when needed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a site administrator, that's probably the best thing to do is turn it off and then only enable on specific sites. When considering if and how you want to share content externally, you should think about who should be granted access, who in your organization should have external sharing permissions, and is there content that should never be made available for sharing? So, maybe you have some specific documents that should never ever get outside the company. You want to turn the sharing off for that site library. Okay. So best practices. You want to create a subsite. If you want to restrict external users from gaining access to some internal content. And I know we're talking more about SharePoint here, but it's all related to OneDrive. So,
certainly.
Share a document and require sign in will require the end user to have a Microsoft account, all right, or a Microsoft Office 365 ID. So,
hundreds of millions of Office 365 IDs out there in the world today, and growing.
Yeah, yep. So, if you're trying to share with one of your customers and they're already on Office 365, they can continue to use their Office 365 login to access your documents that have been shared with them. So, demo.
That's the good thing, and we'll talk about that the sharing, configuring sharing later. This, but yeah, you're right. Let's do the demo.
Sure. All right. So, let's go back to my library. And again, here's that same document. And so we want, I want to share it again. And in this case, I'm going to share it with somebody outside of my organization. So far I've been sharing inside. Susie Fake Name, Katie Jordan, they're inside the organization. Right. So now I want to share with somebody outside. So
how about my real email?
Sure. So, Curtis.
Curtis.Sawin, S-A-W-I-N, at Microsoft.com.
Okay. And we're going to let Curtis edit this.
Yes.
All right. And we're just going to say, hey, here is that file.
Here is that.
Yeah. The same thing. We're going to require sign-in, and we don't need any options. The only option is to send an email invitation, and we want to do that. All right. So share.
Now, what we've noticed is the external sharing notifications take maybe a minute longer.
Yes.
To share, to send the notification out than internal ones. So while that's going on, Chris, I want to show you something. If you can switch over to my machine, there we are. One of the things that's important to note, so I'm logged in here as Katie Jordan on the tenant that we're both sharing right now. So you have shared a document with me, right? Let's say we work in a several thousand person environment. We may be sharing all the time. So it may be tough to figure out. So Chris shared something with me. What if a week later I want to access it?
Yeah.
How do I know where it is? Well, I could go back to my email and find, say, where's that sharing notification, and just click, it'll bring me there.
Right.
What's neat is OneDrive for Business has a, shared with me option that if I click on that, it'll show me everything that's been shared by other people to me. So fortunately, this is just one document, very easy. So this has been shared to me and who was last modified by. So this is a great way to help figure out you know, what stuff has been shared with me, so I don't have to figure out and go back to my, all my notifications. Oh, he meant to share something with him. He did it, but where exactly did that go?
Right.
So it's a great way to roll up everything that I have access to that's not on my OneDrive for Business site.
Right. So has the alert come in?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me go check.
All right. Take a look.
Not yet.
Not yet?
Yep. So, let's, you know what? This is a good point to talk about external sharing and requiring sign-in.
Right.
So like you said, you can show, you can require sign-in, which means Microsoft account or an Office 365 ID. And that what that does, it prevents someone from receiving that from forwarding it to someone else.
Right.
Because only the person receiving it can get it. That's why you're requiring a sign-in. So you shared it to my Office 365 account. I can forward that notification to anyone I want, but they can't access it unless it's logged on by me. Oh, and I have gotten the sharing notification.
Awesome.
So if you can take a look at my my screen here, and this is what the external sharing notification looks like. So I got an email from underscore Curtis Sawin, which is the ID Chris was on, to my real account that says, hey, here is that file. And this is, again, looks a little more professional.
It
now
does.
I'm sending it externally. Very professional.
Yeah.
And as you can see, what Chris did was type this one sentence here. But what I got was an external sharing notification, and now
a link to the document.
I can, and now it says I can log in with my organizational account, and then I can log in with my Office 365 ID that he sent to me, and I will be able to access a document. There's not. Yeah. Whoops, I spelled that wrong anyway.
But yeah, great.
Not that much to it. Kind of cool.
Yep.
All right, what is next?
Let's see. I believe next is the OneDrive for Business Administration.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep.
So now we've talked about the sharing, which really enhances collaboration, right? Not just being able to access your stuff, but being able to collaborate with others, making sure there's one truly one source of the truth. So what now I want to do is figure out, okay, so we're sharing, but how do I configure sharing to make sure it's done right? Chris brought up some great points about recommended practices for sharing in general.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is log back in to, let's see, my site. And I'm logged on as Katie right now. I'm going to log off and log on as an administrator. And Katie Jordan, Chris, I'm sure, is our standard demo person at Microsoft for creating demos. It's the same ID. I have presented and called myself Katie Jordan so many times, it's having an identity crisis. So I'm going to log in as an administrator.
Okay.
Circle, 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 circle goes the password. All right, so this brings me to, okay, did I accidentally hit back? We'll see.
You hit something.
Feels like someone else is talking on my keyboard. Let's see. I'm not sure what's going on, but it feels all like right. There's something depressed here. And not, okay, that's not what I wanted.
Well, we can.
All right, here we are. I'm at my admin center.
Okay.
So I'm going to go into admin. And now basically, so if I want to configure sharing and control how sharing is done, mm-hmm. I can do that on a specific site basis. So over here on the left of my admin center is a link, an option for configuring external sharing.
Yep.
And so we can go on the specific sites, and we can look at, and this is for all SharePoint and sites in general, I can then take a specific site.
It's coming.
Eventually, right?
Yep.
And this lists all the sites in my SharePoint Online environment. So what I can do is I can make sure that sharing is configured the way I want. And the My Sites, right? This is the site for all of our OneDrive for Business. I can select this site and select the pencil, which is just edit. And now I can configure the sharing. So right now, we see that external sharing is turned on. And I'm allowed to send anonymous links, which means, in this case, this is for all OneDrive for Business sites in my environment. So this, in effect, is saying people have their own place to store their own stuff and now can share it with anyone in the world, literally. And I could forward it to someone and share it with my friend Susie fake name. She could then send it to her kids, Julie and Johnny fake name.
Yep.
And I can't control that. So one thing that we see a lot is, especially in OneDrive for Business, we'll sometimes allow external sharing, but make sure that anonymous sharing is turned off. So that you're right. Only sharing, you can share externally only with the people you explicitly are sharing with. And that makes it, gives you a little more control. Yep. So you can then say, all right, I want to allow external sharing and anonymously, but only for specific sites.
Right.
OneDrive for Business is not the place where I want to do anonymous sharing. Or I could click uncheck external sharing entirely. And then as an administrator, I can say, OK, OneDrive for Business is a place for your personal documents and to share internally. If you want to share externally with others, you now have to put that in a separate SharePoint site.
Right.
So then you can mix and match what's the right policy and the right process to collaborate both internally and externally. So you have total control over how OneDrive for Business is configured for sharing. Do I want to, yeah, I'm turning it off, blah, blah, blah. And so I can make sure that, in this case, the setting I have, OneDrive for Business content, personal content at work, cannot be shared externally. I can then go to a different SharePoint site. Maybe I've got some workflows involved in there. That I can make sure that, and now let's see. This has now been changed to sharing, external sharing is not allowed.
Yep.
Whoops, is not allowed.
There you go.
Right, so I can control that at the site level. So again, this kind of helps demonstrate that OneDrive for Business is just another SharePoint site. Mm-hmm. It can be used as a home drive replacement, but there's just so much more.
Yep.
And now as an IT administrator, although we really evangelize the responsible empowerment, we're still enabling administrators to have that control to make sure that the wrong stuff doesn't leave our control.
Yep.
And if you want to do external sharing, great, you do it here. Personal stuff, you can do it here, and you can mix and match and determine what's the right policy for me and my company, and set those sharing policies accordingly.
Perfect.
All right, what else we got? So I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint slide to figure out what we're talking about. So configuring sharing is an administrative level thing.
Yep.
You can do it with OneDrive for Business, like anything else. So what's next? Ah, apps for SharePoint.
Apps.
Right? So as a since OneDrive for Business is like any SharePoint site, I can now take advantage of the new or newer extensibility model that we've recently released with Office 365, SharePoint Online, and Office 2013, Office 365 Pro Plus, which is apps for SharePoint and apps for Office. Basically, a couple things. This represents our strategic direction for SharePoint extensibility and Office extensibility. So I don't know what just happened there.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, represents where was I? Okay.
Yep.
It also, basically, your content, your app, is actually running on another web server.
Right.
It can run in an internal site or in the cloud, someone else's site, but it's presented in SharePoint. So it looks like, for instance, for the OneDrive for Business case, I can actually never leave OneDrive for Business and use other apps.
Right.
So it's a really great way. And same thing with Office. I can do a lot of things within Outlook that take advantage of web content that's in someone else's server, either a web server internally to my company or externally, and never leave that app. So I can be a lot more productive.
Yep.
From a deployment perspective, they're a lot easier to deploy. I can deploy it via the public Office store, where I can create my own internal SharePoint store, and I can configure whether my clients can even get to the external store.
Right.
And again, as a SharePoint site, any app for SharePoint can be added to OneDrive for Business. And again, this kind of represents how OneDrive for Business, not just a sync and share solution, there's a lot more integration you can do. So I think we've talked for maybe a total of 2 minutes about apps for SharePoint.
Right.
And there are a ton of things you can do. In fact, we have some MVAs, two different MVA courses, Microsoft Virtual Academy courses, just on apps for Office. And so at the end of this presentation, of this video, we'll get to those, we'll show you those links, and there's a lot of neat stuff you can do.
That's some great information.
Yeah. So on this page, if you want an overview, what can you do? There is apps for Office on a TechNet level if you're an IT administrator, or if you want to build apps for Office, there's some MSDN links here.
Great.
All right, so as an example, I'm going to show you an app for Office from DocuSign. And we'll show you how easy it is to add and how easy it is to use. Just to give you an example, what can you do with Office 360 or with apps for Office? So I'm going to go back on my computer and I'm going to log off as the administrator. And I'm going to log back on as me. And can you just cut the screen for a second?
All right,
so I'm just going to log on. I've got a super secret password I didn't want to show.
000.
Zero, it's circle, a bunch of circles,
circle,
right?
Circle, circle.
Okay,
circle.
Now I'm good. Thank you. So I'm back logged in as my tenant, and now I'm in my OneDrive for Business site. So what I've got is an NDA folder, right? And so it's a non-disclosure agreement, and here's the super file you added.
Yep.
So I'm going to take a look at what is this OneDrive, and it's hard to see there, so I'm going to open this up in Word Online. So this is my NDA document, right? I want someone else to sign this and say, hey, you know, we're now binded or bound because you've signed this,
right,
you know, obviously professional-looking contract.
Yep.
So one thing I can do is add the DocuSign app. And one thing I want to point out, Chris, is in the upper left of my navigation area, you see you've got Browse,
Files,
and Library, right?
Yep.
So this is what I would normally see.
Yep.
So what I'm going to do is I can add an app.
I thought you were getting the hook for a minute.
Right. So I'm just going to hit Site Contents. And now I can see I'm just going to add an app that's in my local store. And what I've done is I've already made DocuSign for SharePoint Online available. And again, let me click through before I start yapping about it.
Sure.
Since OneDrive for Business is a SharePoint site, all right, good, I did add it.
Yep.
And it's adding in here, and it says it's downloading, we're adding it, this is great. But it doesn't say that, but that's kind of the message I'm getting.
Right.
And I can just add it. So now I've got DocuSign for SharePoint Online in my OneDrive for Business site. It's kind of cool. And look, there it is.
It's done. Great.
So I'll go back to my OneDrive for Business site. And one thing you may notice, in my upper left, I've got a new menu bar. A new item. It's DocuSign.
Menu item. Yep.
Which is kind of neat. So what I can now do is take my documents and immediately upload them to DocuSign to get signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I never have to leave OneDrive for Business. So I'm going to go into my NDA folder. I will click on my very professional NDA document.
Absolutely.
Go to my new DocuSign menu and select Get Signatures. because this is a demo environment and I'm logged in with on a demo DocuSign tenant or DocuSign environment, we're getting an extra prompt.
Yep.
But if I have single sign-on enabled, then you won't ever see this because it can take your Office 365 credentials and pass them right through. So what we're now seeing here, this is DocuSign's website. Believe it or not, it looks like it's OneDrive for Business. And this is it's by design to make sure that, hey, I have this document and I want to upload it and get people to sign it. So I'm going to send it to, Susie. Susie, fake name. Oh, good. She's already here. And the recipient name is Susie, and I'm just going to send it to her, and it's done. So that's who I'm sending it to. And then what the DocuSign app will do is it'll allow me to say, okay, great. I want to drag the signature feature or item. I want her to sign here, and I want this person to sign here. Because as any legal form, you have to sign in more than one place.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but obviously.
Yeah.
And then the date field. Where's the date field? Okay, then date signed. When exactly did Susie sign this? And that's all I need to do. And down here below, I have a little send button. So I could preview this. Let's hit preview now. Yep. And this is what Susie is going to see when she gets it, right? She's going to see this and say, oh, look, I have to do something. Pretty cool. So I'm just going to hit send. And now Susie now has an email. And look, I'm back in my OneDrive for Business. Although it appears like I never left.
Right.
I just clicked my very important document and sent it out for signatures. What really happened was, though, is I got taken to the DocuSign site. This document got transferred there securely. And now Susie has to go there in order to complete the transaction. You have to sign this document electronically before you have access to it.
Yeah.
The last thing I can show you, I'm not going to log on as Susie, but if I go back to DocuSign, let's say I have dozens of documents.
Yep.
I click on check status. And now I can see, okay, here's all the stuff I've sent. How many things have I gone out for? How many people has it done? And I can check the status of an individual document or get a broad overview. And I can see, okay, well, the status here, here's the document right here. There's not much to it. I'll just close this and go back to... I clicked the wrong one. I'll go back to my OneDrive for Business.
There you go. Yep.
So it's really powerful that, and it's not that DocuSign would be great for OneDrive for Business, but it does demonstrate, it certainly could be.
It could be.
It does demonstrate that OneDrive for Business as a SharePoint site can be extended. It can take advantage of our extensibility model, the Apps for SharePoint model, to make sure I can be more productive by allowing my end users to stay in OneDrive for Business or SharePoint and just be productive.
Yeah,
it's kind of
perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. Really it's neat. Very cool. Very cool.
All right. So let's go back to what are we talking about next? Because I'm not really sure.
We are on to installing the app.
Oh, great. So, yes. Yep. And we talked about that earlier. So we did DocuSign. All right. So installing the OneDrive for Business app, or sometimes called the OneDrive for Business Sync client. If you install Office 2013, or you install Office 365 Pro Plus, the OneDrive for Business app or the OneDrive for Business Sync client is included,
right?
Which is great. So if I install, Office 2013 or I have the Office 2013 apps, I automatically can sync all of my SharePoint Online, my OneDrive for Business, my SharePoint 2013 sites. But we also made it available for people who don't have the Office client, the Office 2013 apps. So if I'm using Office 2010, 2007, for example, yet I still want to sync SharePoint Online libraries or OneDrive for Business sites, I can do that. I don't need an Office 365 account in order to do it. I can install the OneDrive for Business sync client separately, and now I can just have all my SharePoint 2013, SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business sites downloaded locally.
Right.
So if you're doing it, make sure, if you have Office 2010 and you have the SharePoint workspace component, make sure you uninstall that first.
Right.
Another thing you need to do is make sure that if you have Office 2013 apps, make sure you, you have the Office, let's see. Oh, you have them listed here, sorry. Office Professional Plus 2013, Office 365 Pro Plus, and all the different SKUs that have the OneDrive for Business app.
Yep.
All right, so what's cool is when you install it, and it will actually will show this, it registers itself in programs and features like any other desktop application. So if you have, let's say, Office 2010, you want to install the OneDrive for Sync, OneDrive for Business Sync client now, and then later you're going to go to Office 365 Pro Plus, you may want to remove the OneDrive for Business app before you install it. Yep. Well, now you can use your standard software inventory methods to determine who's got the sync client, who's got the app that I then need to uninstall later. So it registers itself, and it's pretty straightforward. So let's take a look at exactly how to do it, because sometimes it can be kind of confusing.
Yep.
So I'm going to go back to my computer, and I am just going to show you. I've got OneDrive for Business, the site here, but if I go into Programs and Features, and I've got no apps installed, right? Brand new machine.
Yep.
Well, more importantly, I don't have Office 365 Pro Plus or Office 2013. So the key to installing the OneDrive for Business app, well, let's see. I can go to Bing. There's a couple ways. If I go how to install, oh, I already have it. OneDrive for Business, whoops. There is a document or a knowledge base article that says, here's what I can do. And here's how I install the client. It gives me a product key I can use to activate, which is important because now I can activate using a specific key
yep.
rather than an Office 365 account. And then it also gives me these other instructions. And I can click here if I want to do an installation right from this article. I want to install the 32-bit client. I can click here. It's going to install it for me.
Great.
But if I want to deploy the client to my customers, let's say I want to do it to 100, 1,000, 10,000 users, then just going to a site and saying click here isn't really that practical.
Right.
So that's where you can use the OneDrive, the Office deployment tool, which is really just a setup.exe, and to install the OneDrive for Business client separately. The great news is my good friend Dean Yamada and I, several months ago, delivered a Office 365 Pro Plus deployment for IT pros course on Microsoft Virtual Academy, where we went deep into how to use the Office deployment tool to make Office 365 Pro Plus install, and really, from a deployment standpoint, dance however you want it to do.
Right.
It can also be used to install the OneDrive for Business client. So, what we're going to do here is I will show you, I'll give you a little shortcut. Let's see. I'll go back to Bing. And let's see. What was it called? Office Deployment Tool. Okay. So I'm going to download this tool. And basically, when I download it, it's just a 1 meg, almost 1 meg file. And then it extracts, and I'll show you the results. It extracts to a setup.exe and a configuration XML. And that's all. The setup.exe is what you use to install it. I've created my own OneDrive for Business XML file that uses the details in that that support article we found.
Okay.
Most importantly, I'm using that product key to do the activation.
Nice.
So I'm not activating using my Office 365 account. I'm activating using this product key.
Great.
The other thing I'm doing that's different than standard Office client deployment is I'm installing the product Groove Retail. And that's the biggest difference. I'm installing the Groove Retail product, and I'm activating using this product key. And then like a standard Office 365 Pro Plus deployment, I would just run setup/configure. Nope. I got to do configure first, and then the name of my XML file. And it starts to do an install. And let's see, Chris, I think I made a slight mistake from demo reasons. Oh, no, I didn't.
It's done.
What I thought I did is selected no interface.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible for a demo, because then
right.
it goes in the background.
Right.
And all I can do is say, trust me, it's installing. And
right.
that really doesn't resonate too much. But this is how I can automatically send this to all my clients if I have dozens, hundreds, thousands of people who need the OneDrive for Business Sync client today.
Right.
And it installs. I can do this silently. I did it with an interface so I can see how things are going. And what ends up happening is eventually it's going to create a OneDrive for Business shortcut, and that's the only shortcut I'm going to see.
Yep.
Is if I want the actual shortcut to the sync client. And once that pops up, I can then also go into programs and features and see that it's registered. And so this is an app. In fact, let me check there now. What was it? Programs
and features.
And right, so I've got the Microsoft OneDrive for Business 2013 installed. It says I've installed it right now. So now from an inventory perspective, if I want to know if I later want to change my mind, I can now look in OneDrive for or in Programs and Features, or to use standard software inventory reports. System Center Configuration Manager is one such product.
Yep.
I can install it without a problem, or I can inventory it. So the good news is, Chris, I don't think we should wait around for this to get to 100%.
Right.
It will take a couple minutes to install. Usually when it hits around between 30 and 35% at install time, right now we're at 29%, is when I start to see the shortcut that pops up.
Yep.
But all I'm doing is installing the sync client. So there's really not much to see other than the ability to sync SharePoint sites.
Great.
So let's go back to our, that's not where I wanted to go back to, our presentation.
Presentation. All right. So, let's talk about preventing a library from being synced using
more administrative stuff.
Yeah, more administrative stuff. So your company's IT policy or your client's IT policy may prevent document libraries from being synced with OneDrive for Business. So they don't want documents, corporate documents, to be cached or stored locally on personal computers. So we may have, you know, IT may have disabled that feature, keeps contents of site more secure. It's managed by the site admin, and it's grayed out for users if not available. So if you don't have the sync, the gray, the blue sync button on your toolbar, then it's been, and it's grayed out, it's been disabled by IT, okay? So preventing a library from being synced using OneDrive for Business, it's called offline client availability in SharePoint. Online site settings, so it's enabled by default on all sites. To change availability, we can navigate to the site we wish to change, click on the gear in the upper right-hand corner, select site settings, under search, choose search and offline availability, and check the radio button for offline client availability. So we jump right into a demo and we'll show you how that's done.
It's pretty cool.
Let's see, I can actually do it from here. Okay, so let's go to, we're in OneDrive. You can see those documents. I'm still logged in as the same user.
And I see your sync.
My sync button is blue. Is
very blue and very active.
So I can sync that. So just like I said in the PowerPoint, we can click on the gear, come down to site settings. We can scroll down. Under search, we have search and offline availability. And under offline client availability, specify whether this site should be available for offline clients. We can say no.
Can you zoom in there?
That's yeah, absolutely. Here we go. So offline client availability, specify whether this site should be available for offline clients. And then on the other side, we have the radio buttons here. So simple yes or no, allow items from this site to be downloaded to offline clients. All right, so if I click no and say okay, when I go back to my OneDrive location, my sync button is now grayed out and those documents cannot be synced to my local computer.
Right. So. The IT administrator still has the control he or she may want to make sure that whatever their internal policies are for making data available elsewhere, they still have they can retain that control they need.
Absolutely. Yep. So, you know, this is really good. A lot of companies don't want their files synchronized down. They want you to be online in order to access those files just to prevent them from getting out, prevent them from being on a laptop that might be lost or stolen, prevent them from being synced to, you know, just any of the devices. So Yep. So cool. great feature.
Yeah.
Great control for the IT administrator. Okay. Let's see. Back to our PowerPoint.
What is next?
Data loss prevention. Great. So this is a new feature. It's been extended to SharePoint and specifically OneDrive for Business. It's available with Office 365 E3 and E4 licenses. This is a new capability for IT, and IT admins are able to search for sensitive content, leverage 51 built-in sensitive information types. So we can search for things like credit cards, passport numbers, social security numbers, and more. We can identify documents and export a report. So
as an administrator, I can determine if people are saving stuff that contains credit card numbers in their OneDrive for Business site.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so here's a cool thing, right? So your company's been using OneDrive for Business for a while. You can go out and search the site today and see if there's documents that have credit card numbers in them.
That's great.
Right? So very, very important, pretty cool technology. So, it's managed through the SharePoint Online eDiscovery Center. To open the eDiscovery Center, sign into the Office 365 admin portal. In the admin menu, choose SharePoint. Click the link to the eDiscovery Center on the site collections link page. Okay. Once in the eDiscovery Center, you can create an eDiscovery case, create a new query, determine your query from the sensitive information types inventory, and a typical search may be something like sensitive type, credit card number, or sensitive type, social security number, SSN. So that would be like a typical, but there's 51 different defaults that you can search on. So lots of different things you can search on. And of course you can create custom searches as well. Maybe you have a product name or something like that you don't want to get out. It shouldn't be in people's OneDrive for Business folders.
So we're about to acquire a company.
Yep.
And that's obviously not public information.
Right.
We can do a query to see, hey, is anyone saving content in their own OneDrive for Business that has that company name?
Right. Exactly.
So we can get a little better handle.
Yeah, so not only does it look at document names, but the actual content inside the documents.
That's great.
Yep. Okay. So forming a basic DLP query, sensitive type is required. So typically all queries will start with a sensitive type. And then ranges are optional, so you have the optional information in the middle, and then the confidence range. Maybe the level of confidence that the detected sensitive type is actually a match.
Hmm.
Okay. All right, so let's do a demo.
Sweet.
All right, so I'm going to do a in private browsing, do login, Microsoft Online. We're going to do, I'm going to log in as Garth. f@eastdemo16.onmicrosoft.com, and his password is circle circle circle.
Oh my goodness! Me too.
I got it. Yeah, same thing. All right, so we're gonna go to admin, and we're gonna administrate SharePoint. Once we're here. And our list is populated. We're going to come down to the eDiscovery Center, which is right here. We can click on the eDiscovery Center and then click on the link to the eDiscovery Center. All right, so I've already got a few eDiscovery cases on the left-hand side. So to get started, we can just run through one. We're going to create a new case. And we can call this whatever we want. Let's see, let's do a, let's call it sensitive info.
So descriptive.
I know.
Yeah.
Sensitive info, we can give it a description if we want. And then it wants a URL name, so we'll give it a URL as well. Okay. The language that we want to do the site in. Template, we're going to do an e-discovery case. If our company had some templates predefined, those would show up here. We want to use the same permissions as our parent site. And we can navigation, we display the site in the click launch of the parent site, sure. And then we can use the top bar from the parent site as well. So we can do some navigation inheritance. We'll say create. This will take a second. And it's working on it. Shouldn't take too long. Like I've seen that somewhere before. There we go. Now, once we're here, we have different things that we can do. Typically, we can do, you know, e-discovery sets. Maybe we're looking for, different information, in-place hold status, that kind of stuff. We're going to do a search and export query. And we're waiting. There we go. We're going to give it a name. And let's just do a search for Garth Fort search. Okay. So this is where our query would go. And I'm going to cheat a little bit. Hope nobody minds too much. But we're going to grab this right here. You're okay with it? Awesome. So we're going to grab that out of the PowerPoint. And we're going to stick that right in here. And we're going to do a start date. So we can search on different dates. Maybe we just want to search the month of October. We announced a new product, or internally we announced a new product in October. We want to make sure nobody's looking for it or searching on it, anything like that. So in this case, we're going to do a search from, let's do a search from October 1st through today. Author sender. So this is, if we hover over it, it will tell us specify a sender to filter exchange content, specify an author to filter author content. We don't really need that. We do want to modify our sources. So this is our query source. All right. And we want to select our source. We're going to add a mailbox or location. I'm sorry. Whoops. Select a source, add location, and we're going to look for Garth, and I think we can find it. We want Garth's location, so let's do this. Sorry, bear with me a second.
No problem.
So we want Garth's documents in his OneDrive for Business. We're going to modify this scope. Select a source, add a location. There we go. Say OK. All right, searching. And you saw it did a search really quick.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, we found one. What's this? Credit card number. It was last modified on 11/3. Apparently, Garth has got a credit card number in a document in his box.
That is coincidentally called credit card number.
Coincidentally. And so we can change, if there were a lot of things that showed up, we could change by relevance.
But this searched inside the document. So even if Garth named the document called My Favorite Cat Videos,
yeah,
it would still find it.
It'd still find it.
So we could try and hide it like that.
Yeah. But in fact, if I look at this, it tells me that the name of this document is right here. Name of the document is document.doc. All right.
So
the name of it's just document. Last modified on November 3rd. All right. So let's get out. So if I go back to Garth's OneDrive for Business, I can look at, there's that document.
Document called document.
Document called document. Isn't that great?
Hiding in plain sight.
And if I open that, what do you know? Oh, there's a credit card number and there's a SSN, right? So great information. Great way to discover this information. So
cool.
So that's a quick little DLP in our additional resources at the end of our slideshow. We will show you where the whole list of all 51 of the sensitive types are listed. This is a typical search that you might do for credit cards. So great information,
yeah,
great stuff. Back to our PowerPoint.
Cool. And actually, now that you mention it, what's next is the additional resources.
Oh, awesome.
So basically, if you want to know more about external users, because that conceptually, that can be sometimes confusing. Do I need a license? What can they do? We've got a great article that says it explains in a lot more detail what we've talked about today.
Yes.
More stuff about the share. DLP in SharePoint Online, including OneDrive for Business.
Yep.
And Chris put in, we got some great links there.
Couple and, technical articles.
Yeah. And then if you want to read the 51 different types of sensitive content that are in there already, you certainly can provide that.
And do that as well. So
there's a couple more things that I wanted to show on Microsoft Virtual Academy resources. Specifically, we glossed over apps for SharePoint.
Yes, we did.
Right? We did a demo just to show that OneDrive for Business is more than just a place to store stuff. It can be integrated. You can do a lot more things with it. But I really didn't talk too much about what apps for Office or apps for SharePoint are. So right here, we've got a couple different MBA courses. There's an introduction by a couple folks from our product groups, Jeremy Thake and Brian Jones. And then we've got some Microsoft MVPs. Ted Pattinson and Scott Hillier go even deeper. So if you want to know what it is and how can I use it, take a look at the introduction course. If you want to go deep into, okay, how can I develop it? What are some recommended practices? Our MVPs are great for providing that deep level of content. Finally,
where'd that last one come from?
Well, of course, I got to do a plug for a course that I did with my good friend Dean Yamada about Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. Because when we talked about installing the OneDrive for Business sync client, I glossed over, well, how do I form that XML that I said, don't worry, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about deploying Office, including OneDrive for Business client, we've got a Microsoft Virtual Academy course just for that.
Great.
So that's it for the end of the module. Thank you all for sticking with us to the end.
Thank you very much.